January 6th meeting of the Kissimmee Utility Authority. Will you join me in saluting our flag? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. We have awards and presentations. Jim?
Yes, we have quite a few. And I think first we're dealing with Tony Morelli, aren't we?
Tony Morelli is celebrating his 25th year. Yeah, 25 years. He started off as a system analyst programmer, and he is now an applications development manager. Congratulations, Tony.
Didn't want to have any spaghetti.
I know, that's what I'm sitting here thinking.
No pasta for me. And we say, Mamma mia.
Donnie Usher, he is celebrating his 30th year service anniversary. He started off as a utility worker, and he is now a certified system operator. Congratulations, Donnie.
Have you ever been this shy? Congratulations. And I've got some money for you and some tickets to the Osceola Arts.
Nothing matter with a little bit of money. Hey, Ray.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And here is a parking space for a month and a little gift package from the Historical Society.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is hear the audience. This is the time when somebody in the audience wants to speak to us. You may come up and everybody else can leave.
We'll be in a rush.
It's nice to have somebody add a little humor to it.
That was fun.
It was.
She must be a blast to work with. You never know what you're going to find. The jokester here. Okay, anybody from here, the audience? Anybody want to come speak to us? If not, we'll go to the consent agenda. I need a motion for approval.
One second.
Speak up.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Manny, you have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign for nay. Motion passes unanimously. Public hearing, there's none.
I'm listening to some people from the also organizations. They want to speak to us.
Would you like them to? I think they might be here.
Yeah. I'd like to hear.
Okay, yeah. We have, who's here? March for Meals?
Boy Scouts.
Community Hope, Boy Scouts.
I'm here with the Boy Scouts.
Would you like to speak to us about the Boy Scouts?
If you have any questions, that's why I came today, just in case you had any questions or comments. I'm available to...
you've already got the money, so if you want to say something to us, you can, real fast.
I can do that.
Tell us about the Boy Scouts.
All right, so our Osceola Golden Eagle Dinner is going to be March 5th this year. We're going to be honoring a great community leader, Junior Davis. I'm not sure how many of you know Junior Davis, but...
seen his trucks.
Seen his trucks a lot. Yeah, they're everywhere, but one thing I found is that there's a lot of people in the community that absolutely love him and love scouting, too. Last year, 2018, in scouting, the 1,400 youth that we have in Osceola provided 10,000 hours of community service. They also learned a lot about community leadership by doing those service projects, outdoor skills by going camping, and a multitude of other things, most importantly, confidence. So through camping, through outdoor leadership, learning those first aid things, they gain some confidence that helps them become better adults and better leaders for our future. So I really do appreciate your donation and your sponsorship of our Golden Eagle Dinner, and I hope that you guys are able to join us. There's a seat saved for every single one of you, so there's not an excuse for you not to go, right? All right.
Did you have Eagle Scouts this year?
I did. I can't tell you the exact number right now.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't want to give you a number that's incorrect.
Right.
I believe it's close to 30 this year.
Wow. That's wonderful. Very good.
Thank you.
That's a lot of hard work, isn't it?
It is, but not for me, quite honestly.
Oh, I meant for them.
I'm the representative. We've got approximately 700 to 800 adult volunteers that carry the program, and they're the reason why.
That's grown, hasn't it? Because a long time ago, there was not the support for the Boy Scouts here that we wanted, but now it's grown.
We are growing a little, inch by inch, we're growing in the county and in the region. And with accepting girls into our younger program and now into our older program, we have a lot more parents and a lot more youth that are involved, a lot more families that want to better our community. And I think that's the main focus, what we should all be striving for.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak to their organization? Okay. If not, we'll go on to public hearing. Being none, we'll go to informational. One-year audited financial report for FY18. Kevin, I think this is yours.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Kevin Crawford, Vice President of Finance and Accounting here at KUA. And it's after much anticipation. I know I promised you this in December, and I know you were waiting throughout the entire month of January to hear this and to see this. And so with bated breath. And so we are here today. Mark White with Purvis Gray and Company, a partner with them, is going to share, along with some of his staff, the results of the audit for KUA for the fiscal year ended 9/30/18. And so before he comes, I just want to express my gratitude to him and his team for the work that they've done and for helping us to complete this with a lot of pretty big changes that I explained to you a little bit in December. We steal a bit of his thunder in December when we share with you the financial statements, and then they come and share you with you the audited reports and results that, we've worked with them to compile. And so we also want to thank them, and I want to thank my accounting staff for all the work that they do. I think the two big deliverables that, me and my staff give to you each year are the budget and the audited financials. And this being one of those, it's, you know, always a sense of accomplishment that with a sense of accomplishment that we are providing this to you. So without further ado, Mark, if you'll come and share the audit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. We appreciate it. Chairman Van Meter and board members, we appreciate the opportunity to be here to essentially complete the audit process by reviewing our final reports with the governing board. I'd like to start out by introducing your two audit managers. To my right is Catherine Eno and Lizette Wagner to my left. And the three of us are the leadership portion of your audit team, and we all work directly and continually on your audit every year. And so we are here to kind of review the highlights with you. We were shocked. I thought all those people were here to for the audit presentation. I can't believe left. They're missing all this.
Lucky we didn't leave with them. No,
we're lucky anybody stayed. Okay, well, we have this bound, but I have your PDF page numbers. What I'm going to do is walk you through some of our basic auditor's reports. I'm going to try and be brief because I know you have a busy agenda, but please, if anybody has any comments, questions, just raise your hand as we go, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. That's why we are here. But if you would go to your PDF, page 28, that is the first audit report that I would like to review with you, and it's the primary audit report. You know, as a unit of local government, you're required to have a financial audit every year, and the scope of a financial audit is kind of what it sounds like. Is it is designed for the auditors to audit and express an opinion on your financial statements. So that's what this report is all about. And the first paragraph tells you that we have audited your financial statements for the 28 and 2017 fiscal year ends. And then that second paragraph, which is very important to Kevin's point just a moment ago, it's your management's responsibility to keep your books properly and prepare the financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles and for them to be free of material misstatement. That is your responsibility as KUA. And the auditor's responsibility following that, I'm just paraphrasing those paragraphs for you. Our responsibility is to express an opinion on those financial statements based upon our audit work. And at the very top of the very next page, well, actually it starts down the bottom, under where it says opinion, that's what we refer to as an unmodified opinion that says that we believe that the accompanying financial statements and notes, the notes are an integral part, are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles in the United States of America. So that's the unmodified opinion that you're looking for. Now, what Kevin alluded to a moment ago is under the very next paragraph, emphasis of matter. You guys report under the GASB, Governmental Accounting Standards Board. That is the authoritative body that promulgates accounting and financial reporting standards that all local governments have to follow. And there was a brand new statement number 75 dealing with other post-employment benefits that was effective for your 2018 fiscal year. That's a fancy term for retiree health insurance is what that really is referring to. So that required you guys to implement that new standard, increase your other post-employment liability, and restate your opening net position of your 2017 year end to comply with the new standard. So that's an emphasis of matter. Nothing, when we say restate, that's nothing was done improperly. It's just how you implement something new. They have you go back and restate the opening net position. At the bottom of page 2 tells you that our audit is performed in accordance with government auditing standards, and those standards require that we evaluate your internal controls over financial reporting in compliance with laws and regulations that could impact financial reporting, and that we issue a report on that. And that report is a little bit further in the back, but I'm pleased to tell you that our audit indicates no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in your internal controls in those areas. So that is that's a good thing. I think that's what you're typically looking for. Moving back in the report, there's a couple of other items that I want to. I think if you would go to your PDF, page 85 is where that other report is, and I'm not going to spend any time on that, but that's where these reports, these additional reports start. And then if you would go to page 87, there's an additional independent accountant's report, and this is where the state of Florida, via the Auditor General, requires that auditors of local governments issue an opinion similar to what we just discussed on the financial statements on your compliance with Florida Statute 218.415, which is the state statute that governs how local governments invest their surplus funds. So the state of Florida is very concerned that local governments comply with that standard to the point where they've asked the independent auditors to include that in the scope of the annual audit. So this report addresses that, and in our opinion, you did comply with the statute. So that's a very good thing. Now we're going to go way back up front, and I'm going to go to PDF page 22. I'll give you a second to get there, since we're kind of hopping around. This is the, we call it the SAS 114, Statement on Auditing Standards number 114, or the governance letter. This is supposed to summarize significant aspects of the audit for the governing board. And there's a couple of things I think bear review here in terms of, try not to get too far into the weeds, but I did want to go through some of the specifics here. And if you look at that first bullet that you see, again, I'm on your PDF, page 22, it talks about Government Auditing Standard 75, the OPEB that we just discussed a moment ago. And we noted that your OPEB policy is really a continuation of the City of Kissimmee's policy from when you separated from them many years ago. And we basically are recommending that you take the practice that you've been following ever since then. Jim and I were just looking at some pictures on the wall, and that was 1985, I guess, some of the board pictures. So it's been a good long while. Recommend that you basically put that in writing in your policies. It has just been a longstanding practice ever since you guys separated, that you would maintain the same employee benefits as the city. So
you're saying we should write something saying that this is what we're going to do, rather than just continue doing it.
Exactly.
Formalize it.
Exactly.
Do you recommend the language, the verbiage that we need to?
We'd be glad to work with your people on that, but if they'd like us to, be happy to.
You're not recommending any type of changes?
No.
To those policies, just to add a verbiage that says this is the practice that we will continue to follow.
That's correct.
I'm Jose Alvarez. I'm the mayor.
Yes, Mayor Alvarez, and know you very well. We'll be over at your place in a couple weeks.
I'll keep you.
And you'll see us at the end of March doing the same thing.
Yes, I know.
So, we're not recommending that you change anything. Of course, it's a policy decision. It's, you know, we're not saying that you shouldn't either. That's not our role. We're just simply saying that it's a policy that you have been following that's not really codified in any of your written stuff. So I think it'd probably be a good idea to do that. The second bullet on that same page down at the very bottom is kind of a technical item, but it is something. I see we have Brian and Larry and some of your engineering and operational people in the audience. There's a new GASB statement going to be effective for your 2019 financial statements, and it's called Certain Asset Retirement Obligations. And it defines an asset retirement obligation as a legally enforceable liability associated with the retirement of a tangible capital asset. And the standard requires you to book that liability, now in 2019, if you have one, for what will be the future cost to retire that asset. The classic, to give you an example that you might easily understand what they're talking about, is a nuclear power plant. You have to decommission it at the end of its useful life. So if you are an owner in a nuclear power plant, you record that initial liability up front with a deferred cost and amortize it over the useful life. The idea is to get that liability on the books and expense it over the useful life. We don't know exactly how this new standard will apply to you in terms of your tangible capital assets, but you've got a few of them out there at Cane Island, and you have a TARP agreement with FMPA that kind of shares ownership and operation, if you will, if I can use those terms. So we're recommending that you guys take a look at this new standard and see if there are any asset retirement obligations associated with really anything that you own. Those were just ones that come to mind very easy to, so that you're able to implement this standard next year. So that will be something that your operational engineering technical folks would need to do, perhaps legal as well, because it has to be legally enforceable, not just something that you would like to do. So there's that. And then continuing on to the next page, which is your PDF, page 23, first bullet, second paragraph, under regulated operations. Here we're talking about your rate stabilization fund. And, of course, that rate stabilization fund was created many years ago pursuant to some of the bond resolutions, and it allows you to defer revenues and cash when you have excess revenues, and it allows you to utilize those to offset power costs and reduce your rates, and can be used for other legal purposes as well. So you guys have been using your rate stabilization to keep your rates in the lower one-third per the board mandate, and you have also been using it for some capital projects, of which you have several. You have the AMI project, $20 million project. You have the Domingo Torres Toro substation project, another $20 million. So what we're pointing out here is that rate stabilization fund can get depleted pretty quickly if you are financing a whole bunch of your capital projects out of it and continuing to keep the rates in the lower one-third. So those two things in combination are going to put a little bit of pressure on that fund. It basically cut in half during this year from $48 million to $24 million. So we thought it was worth pointing that out to you. And basically the recommendation is just to take a look. One thing I meant to mention early on, as we stand here today, excuse me for jumping around a little bit, but you are bond free. The last bond payment was made October 1st. You'll see this is as of September 30th, so there is still one last payment in the financial statements. But as we stand here today, you are bond free. You still have the commercial paper. So really, your debt load is very light. And, you know, one of the things you might consider doing is financing some of these projects.
In other words, what we're doing is depleting our resources down to a point where it may be dangerous if anything major comes up. That it sounds free to be, it sounds great to be debt free, but sometimes it can be a bonus for what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You rarely see, you know, the utility industry is so capital intensive, you rarely see a utility the size of KUA with as little debt as you do have, which is a great thing. I mean, I certainly don't want to.
It can be a great thing, but then also you can deplete your
yes
reserves to a point where you're, if something
yes, you
happens,
can.
You are in danger of going under.
That's exactly right. And
it's, what is the formula for how much you should have? Times what?
Yeah, I don't know that there's necessarily a formula because it's a policy issue. I think it's just something that with your management as they forecast cash flow needs, that you look at that, and it's very normal. It's classic utility rate theory to finance a certain amount of your capital improvements, because that way, as those assets are being used into the future, the future ratepayers are helping you pay that debt, you know, rather than the current ones or the previous ones when you're paying it out of pocket. So nothing wrong with financing it at all.
And we do have other reserves in addition to
yes
that specific
right
one for the purpose of if something
yeah
breaks.
Yes, yes, yes. You guys certainly don't mean to imply that you're going broke or anything like that, because you do have other reserves. But that particular one, you know, we've been very lucky in the last several years with natural gas, you know, being as low as it's been. But we all remember those years when that FMPA bill got really, really high due to unforeseen things coming along, and that's where you want to have some rate stabilization. You want to have some dry powder, so to speak, to be able to buffer your customers from any individual rate shocks that might happen in the short term. So so that and looking at that one-third, looking at that whether you want to be in the lower one-third or whether you could live with a little bit less than that, those would be the two things we would ask y'all to consider. I think that's mostly what we wanted to tell you.
Are there any questions?
Glad to take any questions. If not, I would like to close by acknowledging your staff. We get a lot of cooperation. We visit every single vice president that is in this room, knows us and loves us, I'm sure. We do get around and we see everybody, including Jeff and IT. You know, we take a good look at your IT general controls. That's a big part of the internal control study that I was talking about that we do every year. So we get cooperation up and down the line, and we want to acknowledge that. And if I could, just for a moment, I thought, since this is the last time we'll be here before March 31st, I just wanted to say a big thank you to Jim Welsh for everything that he does and has done. I guess my hair is silver enough to remember the days going back. I remember Dean Shaw from Ocala. I remember Joe Tarduno from Leesburg, Keith Roberts, Vince Ruano, Calvin Henze, back when FMPA was just getting going. And if you find any of those pictures, you'll see a guy that looks kind of like that in every single one of them. And, you know, I think about Jim as a captain of industry and public power, especially in Florida, and all that he's done with Kane Island and KUA and in general. So we just wanted to give an acknowledgement to you, Jim, as we conclude the audit.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? Any questions, comments?
No.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to our staff for that report. That was very good. I have a note here to move I-3 up before I-1. And what is the transitional and orientation for the new CEO?
Well, I did the wrong thing here. It's the you need to. I was suggesting that you take right away the interview questions. I-2 instead of I-3. I'm sorry, I put the wrong thing down there. Because the Carl Mikoff is available between now and 4:30, but after 4:30 he won't be available. If you want to him here or think you might want to call him during that,
is that all right with everybody to bring that up forward now?
Yep.
That's fine.
Okay. Or how long will it take to do the others? Because they have to all switch off and leave. If we could
do what others?
Never mind.
Well, I'll be leaving by 4:30. I'll be leaving by 4:30.
Did you want Carl in on the entire discussion, or just want him standing by?
I don't think we need. Does anybody think we need him? You think? We don't think we need him.
Okay. He's standing by. If you do, he's available at 4:30.
Very good. I would like to when we start this out, I'd like to maybe suggest to the board an organized way of handling the questions. When I looked at it, there's multiple questions, 60 some odd. Everybody had 4, 5, 6, 10, and there's no way in the time limit that we have for all those questions to be asked.
You guys don't have any copies printed up for the questions?
I do if you need them.
We have them.
So, my suggestion is we have question one, and question one asks them to give an overview of their experience. If you look at the question, each member of the board has a copy of your resume. And so with that in mind, take 5 to 10 minutes to provide an overview of your experience and your abilities. And I would like to start off the interview with that. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I would like to each board member have one question, probably limited to 4 or 5 minutes, question and answer. And we go around, and as long as we have time till 10:30, we keep asking questions. At 10:30, we stop. No more questions. And then have a break, and then bring the next one in. That would keep us from having to go through this today. Everybody would be able to ask all their questions. Yes, Ray.
I did not send my areas of interest into Carl.
I didn't either, to tell you the truth.
Mine are not identified on here.
Well, the thing of it is it doesn't really matter if it's identified here or not. If you have a question that's on here, whether it's been underlined or not, You're free to ask the question, any question you want. Because as a board member, you're free to ask any question.
Unless someone has already asked.
Yeah,
and then you go to the next one you wanted to ask.
But,
absolutely.
I would suggest that you put your most important questions first and to get those answered, because you'd be surprised how fast we're going to run out of time. So, yes, Mayor?
So I thought we hired a professional company to help us guide us into this. And the idea was to listen to Carl on what he had said, which is it's really saving time when we send in those questions that we're interested on, where it's not just random, just asking questions all the way around in a circle. And maybe I thought that's why we hired a professional company to advise us on that. So then why did we spend any time going over the questions and sending in the questions that we wanted to ask?
Because now we know we have an overview of what everybody in the board wants to ask. And so we can say, okay, I They want that question, I go to another question. That gives us an idea of the questions that are being, that people want to ask.
One thing that might be helpful is if where people had way more than we know we can ask.
Right.
I mean, I was one over or something, but some of them are way over. It might be helpful to know what people's top three or four choices would be just by number now, because that may change what I want to ask if I know they're not asking these six or eight or ten questions. I may see a blank that I want to plug something else in. So to me, it would be a little helpful to know people's top three or four choices.
That's fine with me if that's what we want to do. That's fine.
And
but
then
the
I,
thing of it is, you wouldn't be held to it
in case you
want to change your idea.
And I would suggest that we have somebody kind of keep that four-minute time limit. So if you get in an exchange or whatever, people don't take so much time that other people aren't getting to ask their top three or four questions.
So
if we can assign somebody with a timer to go.
That would be generous. I'll give you the hammer.
Okay. We have this. We can probably be kind of delicate about it, but still, let us. And you may want to warn them when you're telling them that's the format we're going to do this. And if,
when we get to that, when each one comes in, that's what we'll do. We'll inform. This is what's going to happen with your 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Yeah.
But if you want to pick, are people ready to pick their top four?
I thought that's what we did with the email.
Well, there's
some that have 10
there's
here.
There's so many that we can't go by.
I did them. I went through. I sent 10.
You had seven.
Any one of those.
You had seven.
Yes, and I said any one of those that others don't want to ask, then I'll ask. But those are my interested question.
But if you're limited to half of them, what half would you want to ask? So that
it really doesn't matter. I send them my most interested questions. And then we could have divided between all of us all the questions. And that way it's already there and we're not wasting time. We already know what we're going to ask.
We will already know what we're going to ask.
Okay. So then I wasted an hour of my life.
Of course you didn't. You went through all these questions and decided and what? Looked and see what's important to you. Then you will have the chance to ask those important questions.
Okay. Fine.
I went over two, three, or four times. I don't feel like I wasted any time at all. I'm sorry that you did. So, do we want to go with picking four or five of the most important, or wait for tomorrow or the next?
Well, since we have them by color, and so I have three here that are green, so I will concentrate on asking those three.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to give me the numbers so that we can write them down? Actually, I think you had four.
I was number one, but you're going
to
have number
one.
That
one's not one.
Yeah.
So that then the next one was number 22, but someone is asking number 22. I guess Ray, but I'm on top of Ray, so I don't know if I ask her. Do you want number 22, or I ask number 22? Ray.
I'm not asking 22.
That's Jose.
That's Jose. Okay.
So I can ask, do you want to ask number 22, Jose, or I ask number 22?
You know, you guys do whatever you want. I honestly thought that we've already had all this taken care of, and I guess we didn't. So
we do.
You could ask whatever you want, and I'll ask whatever is there.
You and I selected number 22. So
yes, and I selected quite a few others, and my response was, whoever wants to ask whatever, that's why I sent so many of them. Those were the interest to me. We choose four, I'll keep four. It doesn't matter. So you could choose whatever you want to ask.
And if it gets answered, then you'll ask another question, a different question.
There you go. So, yeah, I guess the process that we were going through, really it wasn't the process. This is another process. So whatever you guys want to ask, I'm fine with it.
Okay, so I have 22 and 32 and 41 and 44. So
let's do this again because I stopped at 22 because there were some questions. 22?
So 22 is my first question.
Right.
And then if it comes around and 32 has not been asked, out past 32.
Okay.
And again, it goes around again, and 41 has not been asked, then I'll ask 41. And then 44 is my last one if we come to 4. Okay.
Can I stop us here? This really isn't fair, because then you get the first choice on all of them. Can you just choose one, and then we'll go around and everybody choose one?
I don't think we'll overnap.
Okay,
very
good.
To be a
then
problem.
Let's go. Ray?
23.
Okay.
42.
Okay.
57. 62.
Okay, and that's fine. Remember that ask your most important question first, because we may not get around to 4 questions. Kathleen?
10, and if there's not enough time, I'll follow up the next time around with 19 to kind of get the rest of it. 54 and 35.
So we're going to do 54 and 35?
Mm-hmm. And maybe 19.
35 and 54?
Mm-hmm.
And 19, question mark. Manny, you had lots of questions. You had 10.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well,
now, interesting, if you ask these questions, if you have follow-up questions, we have time for follow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not...
Will you tell me, Ethel's? I didn't write hers down.
Ethel says 22, 32, 41, and 44.
Okay,
Manny.
I'm just going to have 3, because 2 questions, 63 and... 63 and 54, to me, I'll combine those into one. And then 39 and 53. I anticipate, based on my past experience doing interviews, that I do more follow-up questions than I actually pose.
So just pick
initial
3.
That's what I said. 63 and 64. 39 and 53. That's all.
Got it.
39 is 9.
Okay, now wait a minute. I have 63, 39, and 53, but you had another
64.
Number. Oh, 63 and 64. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 63
and
54. Well, there's now, Kathleen has 54.
Because I see 63 and 64 as one question. Now you could put it in one question.
Okay, we'll just let you have 63 and 64 together, and then that's it.
63 and 54. That's one.
You're confusing me, because that's...
asking.
Kathy's already asking 54. It's going to be asked already.
Okay, so I'll go to... I'll stay with 63, because it's me support. 63,
39,
and
53. Okay, good. And Jose.
I'm going to be asking 4 questions. Number 4.
Okay.
Number 5. Mm-hmm. Number 33.
Yes, sir.
And number 47.
Very good. And I'm going to be presiding, so I'm not too sure what I'll be.
That's my first. We haven't got you down here.
Yeah. Y'all have really kind of picked a lot of the ones that I thought were important, too, but I think I'd like to ask 25. We have 21. There's no 21. 21.
No, nobody has that.
Then I'm asking number 1. So that's fine with me. I don't need...
I don't think 1 counts as one of yours. That's from
all
of us.
Well, actually, with all that, everything that you've picked, those are fine with me. Okay, 28 is kind of important, because that's how do you discipline.
Okay.
So maybe I'll go 28. Okay.
This is really helpful, because now
this was very helpful.
We can kind of go back and look at what each other is asking and see if we've left out some major area. And
well, I think the most important thing to remember one question and follow-up for 4 minutes. Do you think that'll be enough, or should we stay 5 minutes? 4 minutes. So we're going to do 4 minutes. So be short with your questions so they'll have more time to answer. Don't ask long questions. And then we'll go one by one around. Do you want me to start with different people as far as questions go? We'll start with maybe Ethel, then the next round it'll be...
I'd just do it straight down so we know you're talking and it's going to be my turn next, okay. And I'll be ready. And
okay, we'll just do it at the same time, everyone. Sorry. Any other questions as far as that's concerned?
May I add one more?
Yes,
thing?
You may.
Now, we're also going to allow time for them to ask us questions, mm-hmm. Y'all questions too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be tight.
Very tight. That's why...
work that out for you.
Well, right now, as a matter of fact, it does... 4 minutes a question on 24 questions is 96 minutes, and you're allowing 90 minutes for questions, follow-up questions, and his questions. Yeah, so that's so you got 96 minutes for questions, then you got follow-up questions, and their questions, and that's not 90 minutes. That's you're starting off with over 96 minutes. So.
But
you know, what you could do is just go around three rounds, and then you got, instead of...
At 10:30, we stopped questioning. That's why I said,
yeah,
you get your most favorite one in first, because if you don't get that fourth one in, you just... Time's up.
And some of these questions
at 10:30, you go on to your 30 minutes of break and discussion. Without the candidate in the room.
Exactly.
Or ideally without the candidate in the room. You can't ask them to leave without violating the sunshine law, but they probably will leave.
But a lot of these questions won't take 4 minutes.
Why would that violate the sunshine law if we ask them to leave?
Because you're asking a citizen to exit a public meeting.
Yeah, I think they can stay if they want to.
Fine with me. I don't care. I'm just wondering for why it would be, but I guess you're right.
Hope that wouldn't happen, but...
We don't care. I mean, how they handle themselves one way or another is how we judge them. So
you can't do anything to dampen anybody's desire to attend this meeting.
Absolutely.
Without, you can do it, but you can't do it without violating the law.
Okay.
So all of them could come to the first person's interview and know what all the questions are.
According to the law, yeah. If they want to be at a public meeting, they can be there.
Oh. Or you can switch up the questions. Who knows? I mean, you're the board members. You can change it. This
absolutely.
Is what you've done. But if you want to go to number...
That's what the law says. Practically, that's not going to happen. I mean, because the same thing. You know. How many board applicant interviews have you been through?
No.
Has that ever happened?
No.
It could happen at any one of those. And it never has. Because people want to come for their interview. And when they're done, they generally want to leave. But you can't encourage them to do that without... violating
which
the
is
law.
Fine. Okay, so in February, that's the 11th and 12th.
Mm-hmm.
The 13th, we're going to meet at 2 p.m. to deliberate and select a finalist. And then Jim brought up the fact that we had the 21st set to finalize the agreement
contract.
And the contract. And we may not need that much time. Should we... Since it's the 13th, should we maybe change that meeting to the 18th and give them 5 days to finalize it? Or do you think we'll need from the 13th to the 21st to get a contract underway? But it's a called meeting. We have 10 days. We're going to have to advertise it. We have to advertise it within 10 days, don't we? That's what I thought.
Time that
I'm not sure it's that long for what's the.
The city commission was 10 days. We had 10 days.
10 days? Was it 10 days?
I have a feeling we'll run into scheduling problems between all of us if we start changing meetings.
If we want to keep it on the 21st, it's fine with me.
I think we should just go ahead and keep it
because.
Fine. 9
a.m.? We were trying to figure out why it was the 21st anyway, and I figured it was somebody had something going on that had to be the 21st. So.
9 a.m. in the morning.
9 a.m.
And so you guys know, after the 12th, I'm going to leave here with you a letter on my behalf on who is the candidate that I will be choosing, because the 13th and the 14th, I'll be in Tallahassee speaking in front of committees.
Okay, very good.
And they just popped that on me just a few days ago. So I'll be up there for a few committees. So I'm going to leave a letter
with
my recommendations, and I'll leave it with him. And that way you guys, you know, he'll turn that over to you afterwards so you can read my recommendations.
Yeah, during the deliberation.
Yeah, Adam too, yeah.
Very good. Thank you for doing that. We like your input. So is there any other questions about that day? Manny?
I have a question. Is it appropriate to discuss the process in selecting the new CEO, what process we're going to use to actually select the individual?
The most qualified. The most qualified individual.
No, but are we going to do like we've done in the past where we put...
We could very well do that.
Whatever.
Spreadsheet.
I'm not sure. Spreadsheet.
You know how we did a spreadsheet for our candidates for the board? You might want to, Jim could probably put that together for us if he...
There's different ways to do it. I'm just thinking. I don't know which...
In light of that, I came in and suggested to Letitia that we might want to get a head start on that, and she had already prepared it. So it was prepared before. in her usual fashion, she anticipated what the needs might be.
I forgot about that because we talked about that yesterday, that it might be a spreadsheet might be easiest. Because if we all vote for the same person on the first... Everybody gives one person a one. We don't need to go any further.
Can you put that up, Letitia?
So.
Go ahead. Okay.
But at that point, you certainly can advocate for your choice. So that's just...
Well, and it'd be nice if everybody gave them a one and they had the lowest score, but the probability of that is...
With this board?
Whatever, so we're probably going to have some discussion.
Yes.
And hopefully we could get it to a unanimous sense before we hire them.
I would say it has to be unanimous before anything. But yes, it has to be unanimous.
Or
we don't go forward. We just keep going until we get a unanimous decision.
Okay. Well, technically, it'd be 3-2, right? We're all unanimous. Yeah.
No. Well, the thing of it is, we don't want a new CEO coming in with a... Without a mandate, everybody
and a mandate is better than unanimous.
So, I mean, I know I would be very uncomfortable if I knew that the majority of the board didn't want me, or the few of them didn't want me.
Right.
So,
Madam Chairman, when are you anticipating? Because some of these people, there's going to be a salary discussion too.
That's going to be on the 13th.
Oh.
And.
But now is that number one choice going to be at that meeting, or are we going to do this without them?
I thought that the negotiation to bring them here, the contract was, I thought that's what was happening those 3 days of the week leading up to the 21st, that person's going to be in contact with representatives from here, which we need to look at contract stuff and see if there's anything we want to particularly add or how we want... There's a million questions about the contract that in that time period are going to have to be hammered out individually with that person. And
I don't know if I'm qualified to put a contract together.
Well, no,
per
I think
se.
Had a
back there.
Pretty good.
He's asleep
one.
Back there.
Do you have
yeah.
a contract? Mr. Mycroft had provided me some samples of the contract, so he would be working that and helping to formalize that based on your direction and your decisions about, you know, what that party wants. And obviously, they're going to be responding to you with information about what it is they prefer to have in the employment offer, and you're going to either accept that or decline that. From that, he will then build the proposed and recommended contract to provide to you.
That's part of his job.
As long as you want it to be.
Overpaying.
Well,
I don't think
so we would have Fred and Wilbur and Mycroft and one of us negotiating with the incoming person.
Well,
and I know.
Yes, ma'am, it could be that way, and we can speak with the chairperson, and Fred and myself and Mr. Mycroft have already seen these samples. Contracts that we've been looking at.
Okay.
So we kind of
can
got our templates
that?
Ready
and
just waiting for your direction.
Yes, I think we want to present a contract to the board for them to to look at.
Yeah.
So that's definitely
once they get it hammered out.
Yes.
And I think you got some information because I requested some contract-wise and what have you.
Right.
So I haven't spent a whole lot of time with it because I was looking at this other stuff, but I don't mind being part of the negotiation if...
We'll let Kathleen take that then.
Yes, ma'am.
She's a detailed person. She'll be good at it, so.
So it's going to be Kathleen and not the chairperson, right?
Certainly.
Okay.
I can be hard-nosed.
Quick question. So,
yes, ma'am, sir. We got.
So you have a board of five.
Yes.
You're going to have one person approve the contract.
No. Well, all five approve it. Kathleen's going to work with them to get it written.
Hammer out some of the nitty-gritty, which you can't sit in this meeting and hammer out all the little fine details.
Can you hammer out a contract? Are you an attorney?
No, but we'll have an attorney.
Okay.
And Wilbur, who's our HR guy. So, but no, it will be brought to us, and we can ask questions. And if we don't like what it says, it will go back to the drawing board.
And you're hired employment specialist.
Yes.
Right.
Carl.
Yeah.
So, which we are paying bucks to do this. So I think we have to enjoy it. Yes, Ray.
I got concerned over, I guess it was like last Thursday or Friday, seeing the fact that we lost one candidate because of the Sunshine Law. And in addition to that, people being able to see the live streaming of the interviews. And so I posed the question was, well, there didn't used to be anything called live streaming. Was there any way in which the records could be delayed until the end of the interviewing or until after the Wednesday discussions?
Chris would be at the one in our legal. We go to legal and we go to.
Yeah. I went to Fred and I got a response back. You want to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky thing. There is no, in my opinion, there is no legal requirement to stream it at all. But you all have adopted that policy some years ago. You can certainly change that position and not stream it live. Either from now forward or with respect to this one issue, there is some concern about that because you've got a precedent set and members of the public or press could raise the issue. I would think, however, that if somebody were to raise that question, I mean, it's pretty defensible because it's not fair to the candidates, at least the ones at the very beginning, because they have not had the opportunity to hear the responses from the others. Legally, you can certainly change the rule. I don't think there's any question about that.
That would take a motion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, there is some danger. I mean, there. Some,
yeah, I would feel uncomfortable changing the policies that we follow on a regular basis, and the reason being, my first question could be to the candidate: did you live stream this? Did you see this before you come in? That could be a question. But I think we should just follow. It's not. Someone might look at this and say we're trying to cover something or do something that's not. And I'm not saying that obviously we're not, but if this is our practice, why are we stopping this particular practice at this particular time for this important position? Is someone trying to?
To be fair.
So I'd rather just keep what we do on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, and I would pose the question to the individual, and that would be an ethical question.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned, but that's my opinion.
Let's take it one at a time.
Okay. But I thought the reason for wanting to change it was to be fair to the second and third and fourth person so that they don't hear the answers of the first person. Because this is a one-time thing. This is one-time CEO. It's not like everyday thing that we do. So just to be fair to the second person, or to the first person, because the first person would be the first one that would be answering questions, and the other ones would already know the questions if they see it.
If they see it, and if they take the time to sit down and view this, and view those questions, I said my question, one of my questions would be, did the individual view the live stream of the previous interview? And if the answer is yes, see, I just continue, we'll continue, but that could be a reflection on someone. So.
I think Ray had something to mm-hmm. say first, yeah.
One of the ways that you can address the issue of the candidate's questions is if all the questions were presented to them in advance so that they all know before they walk in the door what questions they will be asked and so forth. That could be done. The only thing there would be some of the questions at the very beginning are geared to just the external candidates rather than the internal candidates. So questions could be given to everybody for that purpose, but, you know, I see that there are issues. I'm looking at it from the opposite side of the fence. And if you want a level playing field for everybody, you're not going to get it if you can't have and release it at the end of the process.
The live streaming doesn't have to be live. It can be streamed after the process.
Yes, I think Kissimmee does it later.
No, we do it live.
Do you do live? Toho does it later.
But it's always available.
We caught a lot of hit when we were changing. This past year, we were changing the system, and we stopped. And boy, it was getting nasty. It was getting borderline where our legal department had to get involved. In my opinion, we're interviewing professionals, and I don't care if one professional sees the answers that the other one is given. It's this individual doesn't really know how to do that job. I don't care how much he sees it, records it, puts it in his brain. As soon as he answers his questions, we're going to know if they really know what they're doing or not. I mean, we're not hiring just a regular position. We're hiring somebody that's going to be the CEO and president of this company. And supposedly, we're looking for the most qualified individual. And like I said, there's questions here that, I mean, this is, if they're not an expert in this, they're not going to be able to answer. I don't care how much they see it ahead of time.
And they're personal questions. We're asking what they have done in their jobs to handle certain things. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're not going to certainly replicate what somebody else said.
And if they do, you're going to realize it. As soon as they say something, you're going to see it. Yeah. So I don't foresee. I say be very cautious. Like he said, we might not be breaking any type of laws, and he's the attorney on that. But we will get probably someone out there that can test us, and test KUA on the legality of it. So,
yes, sir.
I have one thing that might help us a little bit. Part of what is kind of a concern to me would be the half-hour discussion we have when the person leaves, and everybody overhears that, so they kind of know each of our individual biases and whatever.
And may
respond according, not bias in a negative
opinions.
Way. So maybe what we could do is let the questions go a little bit longer, give ourselves 15 minutes where we simply write ourselves some notes and do the actual discussion after we've interviewed everybody. So do that discussion on Wednesday. So each one is not hearing the discussion of the positives and negatives of the person that was interviewed before them.
I got to go. I got a delegation of mayors that's waiting for me at City Hall. So.
Go ahead.
We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, we're good. Yeah. All right, you guys let me know.
Thanks, Jose.
What we're planning to do.
We will. We'll give you a heads up.
Looking back on what Carl had mentioned at our last meetings, I mean, if you don't talk about it pretty quickly,
yes,
we're going to forget it.
Well, that's why I'm saying give ourselves enough time to write ourselves some notes.
I mean, the candidate number four could sit back here in that chair if they wanted to. You know,
right.
So, you know, I think we just you take that into consideration.
Why don't we just do it and not worry about anything like that? Because after all, like this is like the mayor said, it's a professional. It's
yeah.
professional.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know exactly what you're saying. I hate it too. That Sunshine Law. But it's a sunshine law. We have to abide by it. And I understand what Fred's saying. We have created something that we have done, and we and to change it is to be very obvious why we're changing it. And I don't know if you could just support it in a court of law that we just didn't want to do it this time. So.
I mean, I'd hate to have us have to defend it, but. I mean, my gut feeling is we could prevail on that because it levels the playing field, as I think Kathleen pointed out, and it's we're trying to protect the integrity of this whole process. But so the safest thing is to leave it alone.
Yeah,
no
I don't want to prevail anyway. I just want to see where we're at.
Well, that's this is taking a lot of time. Just this one thing. What do we want to do? Leave it the way it is? Make a change or? I seriously don't think that they're going to be sitting there looking at the feed. I mean,
I would.
Some people would, I'm sure. But
just
I don't think it's going to help them.
Yeah, it won't help.
I don't think it's going to help them. I think even if you knew the questions, you're certainly going to, are you going to say what the other guy said?
Yeah.
You're going to do better than what the other guy said, actually, you know.
I guess the internals are the ones that are going to do that.
I suggest we're just kind of digging a hole in the swamp. We're getting deeper and deeper and more confused.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just leave it the way it is?
We can.
I mean, we have a consensus here. I mean, I know Manny and I think that
there's been no motion. I was just expressing.
No, this is not a. This is not a motion. This would be a.
Just
a procedural decision we're going to make. So.
Well, I think you would probably, if you decide to change it, I think you need to make a motion.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, if we decide Absolutely. To do not do the yes. So.
With no motion, it stays the way it is.
Right.
Okay, then let's go on to number one, KUA pension plan resolution.
Do you all want to be here now? Or?
Huh? I think we're done with you.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want to run out of staff if you don't need to.
As much as we love your lovely face and handsome and your wit and your charm, you may leave.
But
transition?
Unless we needed him for that.
I don't understand what the transition orientation is.
Just a clarification. We're staying with 9 a.m. in the morning on the 29th, Thursday and the 29th.
21st.
The 21st, excuse me.
Yes. Yes. So I don't think we need to. What is the transition orientation for the new CEO?
That's my
the wording was put by staff there, but it was just what I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to come, the last meeting that I wanted to discuss officially, that I believe that we should have a transition period where the current CEO stays as a consultant to the new CEO because he has a lot of knowledge within the city, within KUA, that someone that's new to this company would need a guiding hand. And I think the present CEO is the right person for that. And I could think of a million things. Getting out into the community, especially an external meeting the right people, how he does his daily operation and so forth. So to keep him as a consultant, if I could use that word, for a certain period of time until the new CEO is comfortable. That's what it's all about.
That's what the issue is. That's what the point is.
Okay.
My feeling is that just like we hire Fred as a consultant, that Jim has the prerogative to do that, or we do. The new person should have the same initiative. It should be his thing for him to hire anyone he wants to. It could be Jim, it could be anybody else that he feels comfortable with going to get information as he needed.
but it will be his power to ask for that, rather than being imposed a specific person for him to guide him or take him through.
And I totally agree. And an internal versus an external person may have totally different needs, but they need to get here or be here and get their feet on the ground and see what their needs are. And then, I mean, I think we'd all be willing as a board for them to come to us and say, I need a consultant. I need Jim.
Ray, would you have something to say about this?
I agree that whoever is selected should be offered the opportunity to have the prior person come back if they choose. Then it becomes their decision whether or not.
With that cruise.
All we're looking for is now really is, would Jim be willing to do so? And if so, you know, if the new
that
person
says. That makes it who's hired.
That's true.
Well, I want to share what, if I was a new person coming in, and I had to establish my staff, my credibility to the staff. And so I'm going having meetings with them and have Jim there. Or you see what I'm talking about? It becomes confusing to the staff. Well, who's in charge? That new person has to come in and right away establish his way or his or her way of doing it. And I think with Jim there, he's perfectly, I think it would be nice if he would ask Jim, can you take me to Toastmasters or can you take me to the chamber and introduce me? I mean, that would be a wonderful thing for Jim to be able to do, but that would be his decision.
As a consultant, not as a volunteering thing.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's a matter of salary, then you have to worry about salary, but I don't know. That's between the two of them. I don't think we should hire Jim as a consultant. So
no problem.
An observation.
Certainly.
First of all, before I make the observation to answer your question, I'm willing to do anything that you all here at KUA or the new CAO wants to facilitate that transition. The other thing I'd like to point out is that unless you severely curtail the new CEO's authority below what mine is, I have the authority right now to go out and hire any consultant up to $100,000 to do a job that I think needs to be done, and I have the resources to do it within contingencies and budget. And I don't foresee this board saying when a new CEO is hired, well, now you don't have the same authority and flexibility that the former CEO has. I think that'll be there. So it's already in place that the new CEO, whoever that is going to have the ability to do that if they want to do it, unless you curtail it.
Up to him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Up front.
Right.
Say that again.
So as long as the new CEO knows that up front that he could do that.
Well, there's. I'm sure there's going to be some transition as long as you get your job done before the 31st of March. And my intention is as soon as that's done, there's a few things that I really want to talk to the.
Of course,
I'd like
would.
To offer to talk to the new my.
And I think
CEO,
that's what you want. You want his wisdom shared.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we want too. But that would be between you and the new CEO. Not dictated by us.
And anything I do in that time frame is already paid for. So, yeah.
Okay. So does that handle that?
Yes.
So now we go to the pension. Did we do the pension plan? Did we do that?
No, we have to switch attorneys.
Oh, attorney can leave. I've already said how wonderful you are.
Grant, you can come in now. Can you please come in, Grant?
Come in, Grant.
Is he on? You have? Did you?
I'm assuming he's watching the screen.
Oh, just speak
no,
louder.
He's not watching because he said he's going to keep me completely out of it.
Yeah, just speak.
You
have. Right, he's not listening. There's a bug under your table. Just speak a little louder. You'll hear it.
Huh?
Bug under your table.
Can I get some water?
You may get some water. This has been longer than I thought it was going to be.
I need to get gone, too, yeah. But this shouldn't take but a minute.
Did you see if Grant's back there?
It took way too long with the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the questions went fast. I thought that's what I thought that would be the hang
up. I'm going to forego my FMCA thing.
Okay.
I would assume that all candidates have been watching this meeting.
Wouldn't you?
Well, it's fine.
Neither Larry nor I watched the meeting. We had a nice conversation about life in general.
Oh, okay. That's well, that's good. Just you, Brian. Where's Brian? Brian Mackey?
He's.
He didn't want to answer that question.
We're so glad. Okay. Now the pension resolution. Larry.
Good evening, all. This pension resolution, actually, tonight I'm speaking to you as the Kissimmee Utility Authority's Employees Retirement Plan Board Chair. And so, bringing as the chairman, I don't know if you've all had a chance to read this, but it's very self-explanatory to give an overview, and then if you want to get into it deeper, we can. The overview is the IRS has asked to have clarifications on some of the rules that were in some of the statements inside of our plan. So we've done those changes. Also, while examining that, there's some things that were not clear enough. There's been litigation at other plans if it wasn't clear enough. So we've clarified that. Then we took clarifications, and we took the new language you sent to our actuary and says, these changes, do they have any financial effect on this? And they said, no, it does not. So it doesn't change what the plan means. It just clarifies it, and it doesn't cost any more money. So the lawyer, Scott Christensen, our lawyer for the pension board, has written this, brought it forward to you, and our recommendation is that you would accept resolution 1901. Is there questions?
Any questions? And I need a motion.
Motion to accept.
I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Larry.
Thanks so much.
Staff reports. Susan. Come tell us how wonderful everything is in your department.
It is.
I know. I saw some of it.
It is. It's always hard to figure out what to share with you because there are a lot of really good things going on. So we'll go ahead and get started. First of all, we were very excited that people stopped driving into our trucks. We achieved 365 days in a row without an accident, which is truly, all joking aside, is such a wonderful achievement. We love the fact that everyone went home safe and sound every single day. So it's still going.
We use the word miracle.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're very pleased with that. And obviously, with the Better Business Bureau, we maintain the highest rating. Here are some of the things that I'm going to go through quickly that are going on that actually touch our customers. So we'll go ahead and just kind of update you a little bit on the chat feature. Customers still love this. These are their comments that they send us at the end. At the end of every chat, they have the opportunity to complete a survey, and they still love having this option. So we're thrilled that with our IT partners, we were able to offer this to our customers.
He didn't have to wake up his wife.
I was just reading. I just got to that part.
I was wondering what would she do if he woke him up. I did.
She'd be
dead. That's kind of scary.
These are questions I cannot answer, but nonetheless, you can see over 6 months, we had over 4,200 chats. So the customers that use this method of communicating with us really like it, and you can see their satisfaction is very high with it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I know you always like to hear about the Good Neighbor Fund. So you can see we have over 3,200 customers that are participating in the Roundup program now. So that continues to, it grows, but then we lose some as people move away. So it's kind of hung around the 3,200 for a while. You can see the donations in 2018, that equates to about $50,600 that was distributed in that fiscal year. I know I tell you this every time, but I can't stress enough how important it is and how difficult it is to maintain such accuracy in our billing. It's actually 99.991 or something. They work very hard to make sure that our bills that go to our customers are accurate. We remain about the same level of notices for late payments and around the same percentage of customers that actually are disconnected for non-pay. Our in-house collections, which is where we try to contact customers between when their final bill is late and before we send it to a collection agency, we're currently collecting that at about 70%. Wow. Which is really very good. 70% of the customers that we reach out to, some of them are very small dollars, and we don't spend time going after those. Write-offs, you can see, we still have write-offs, you know, $231,000 we sent to collection agencies. But the good news story is that our net write-offs were actually in a negative. What that means is we're collecting on old bad debt at a rate higher than what we're putting new bad debt on. So there was a time not that long ago, about 11 years ago, when that write-off amount was over $3 million a year. So this is a huge accomplishment, and this is just a concerted effort on multiple levels throughout the entire company, having the support of the board, Mr. Welsh, all of the executive staff, because we all heard about it when we made changes to the way that we handle deposits and do background checks on everyone that applies for service and all of those things. So this is a great accomplishment. We are going to look into doing a new RFP. We've had our collection agencies for a while, and it's time for us to go to the market. Our customer information system, wow, we went through an upgrade January 21st, and I have to tell you, overall, it was incredibly smooth, and I think Jeff would be shaking his head over there, which is not normal for conversions and upgrades of this magnitude. We had employees, a core team, that worked on this for 15 months, which means they tested, they reported problems, they tested again, they reported problems, they tested again, they reported problems. And we waited until we were comfortable to go forward, because if there was a problem, all 78,000 customers would have felt it immediately, because this is our system that we use for calculating our bills, collecting, recording, everything. So it was huge. And that was really, we had, you know, the obvious, you would think, you know, customer service was involved and IT was involved, but finance was also very involved. And so this was a huge undertaking, and the team did great. You know, we're always pushing to improve our processes, and we did hear from customers that they wanted to know their next scheduled read date, and so we did get that added to the bill. And self-service arrangements, you know, we've had over 4,600 customers actually complete the process. And the really great part about that is over 85% of those that make payment arrangements on their own without talking to any of us, they keep them. Our normal kept arrangements is about 74% for when it's done through a representative. And then we're working on workflows to improve those as well. Our AMI meter farm is scheduled to be up, we hope, in March. That's our plan. Lowell over here is our project manager for the field installation, and he's doing a great job at that. We do have the collector up at Hoard, and that is there to, we need that and the associated router, and that is there to, for our initial deployment area, IDA, another acronym for you. It's going to be about 245 meters. That's our first area where we're going to install them and start testing the system and learning more and more about it. So we're excited. Again, cross-department collaboration. You know, this is IT, this is E&O, this is customer service, finance. This is everyone making this project happen because it's huge. It's really huge. And shout out to Mike Wagner, who's one of our new E&O employees. He brought a lot of knowledge with him because he came from PG&E? PP&L. And they had deployed already. And so that was really great for KUA. We are changing one of our rebate programs. We are going to have a rebate for smart thermostats. You know, the rebates are designed to get people to move to new technology, so we will be eliminating the LED residential rebate because customers are already doing it. It's an accepted technology, and if they've already bought them, they're going to last for about a very long time, so they're not going to need another rebate for a while. This shows you the activity in energy conservation that we've done. So there is an awful lot going on in that, and we have 500 active solars and around 100 in the hopper. Key accounts. So I know you know Scott is our key account manager, and he's doing a great job. We've identified the key accounts. It's 44 customers, but they have about 900 accounts. Scott was very involved in designing the Smart Energy Provider Program, and this is a designation now that KUA is starting to work toward achieving, or at least apply for. He's been working with Osceola Heritage Park. They agreed to pilot our first solar lights. They have an entrance where there is no electrical service available right there, and instead of trenching and bringing electrical service out to the entrance, they're going to try solar. And then, obviously, we're working with the city of Kissimmee to enhance their downtown lighting and get ready for hurricanes. We did participate in the APPA Customer Connections Conference, and we actually hosted the key account panel, and we were well represented by ORMC, the city of Kissimmee, the county, and Bridge. And so that was a great event. The whole APPA couldn't believe we could get that many customers to attend and participate, so they were pleased. And customer service is working with engineering and operations to get one of the deed grants. I know you've heard of the deed grants at APPA. We want to use it for smart pole technology in Kissimmee. Quickly, we went to Give Kids the World. This is what Scott found. Underneath that crate was a transformer, and underneath that Christmas tree-looking thing was a transformer. We got those cleaned out so that we can continue to serve them effectively. Would have been hard to find in a storm. Valencia College, I've got some notes on opening date. They are expanding. I believe this is building number 5. Let me grab my note. Yes, 50,000 square foot building. Their estimated completion date is 2019. The Bridge office building, it's 100,000 square foot Class A office building. Estimated completion date is August 2019. And they plan on adding a Tier 3 solar system, so they will be a net metering customer. And then Neo City Academy, 45,000 building square foot building under construction for the school, and they will be our first Tier 3 solar customer. And with that, any questions?
Great report.
Where is building 5 for Valencia?
I'm sorry?
Where is building 5? Valencia?
On 192? Yeah, it's at campus. That was my first question.
Great.
With the current rebates that are being offered to customers, do you all ever compare them to other utilities?
Yes. In fact, coming from an investor-owned utility and working in that area, they spend a lot of money doing research on how much rebate should be. So we're constantly checking neighboring utilities to see what they do. And we try to make sure that we're in the ballpark.
Okay. And seeing your Christmas tree picture, I was just wondering, does KUA have a way of customers to identify where they feel trees need to be trimmed or not on their website? I don't know.
Well, I know that they call us often when they need, you know, trees trimmed. So they typically pick up the phone and call us. I'm not sure that there's a place to log it on the website as, you know, investigate this or creating a service order. But I know they call us all the time.
I didn't know whether it would be helpful to have one there, because I actually heard on the radio somebody, a utility that was advertising that. Because I was listening to a station that wasn't real local.
Right. That's a great idea. Yeah, I'll double check. I don't think we have any tree trimming. You know, the biggest question is whether it's their responsibility or ours, so they often like to call us and ask.
When I was at FMPA and they were talking about people in the process of putting in solar, and you said we've got 100 people kind of in the hopper, mm-hmm. Homestead has a fact sheet that they send out to all those people that are kind of in the hopper with information of a realistic nature to kind of let them know what they're getting into. I haven't seen the thing.
Is it a checklist for this is what you need to do, or is it before they make the decision to purchase?
It's before, and it's a fact sheet. When they're investigating, needing to have a different kind of meter and that sort of stuff, and they get in touch with Homestead, then Homestead gives them this fact sheet.
Right. Well, we have a checklist that the customer has, and most of our contractors know the checklist of exactly what needs to be filled out. And we have an employee that works directly with both.
I sort of felt like some, and it may be not that way, but that some of this was to kind of let people know that maybe they weren't going to save as much money as they think they're going to save, if you can kind of.
We do assist them with those calculations.
Good, good. That's important.
Anything else for Susan? Thank you, Susan. It's a great report. Thank you so much. I hear our attorney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I did want to thank you, the board, and all the hardworking employees for a magnificent field day today. It was a wonderful experience. It really builds a camaraderie, and thanks for your generosity enabling us to do that. I'm glad I don't have any bad news to follow all the good news with all our reports today, with the audit, the pension, and the customer service report. I did want to just briefly go over the upcoming legislative rally, the APPA rally. All of us, including everyone here on the dais, should have received an email today from Ryan Dumas of FMPA about the rally. There is a pre-rally legislative webinar that you can participate by phone and computer on February 15th, that's a Friday, at 10 a.m. The issues that they will likely go over and that we will likely cover are as follows. I think I've talked about this order from the Federal Communications Commission, which is basically effectively repealing we have an exemption from FCC regulation for pole attachments. The investor-owned utilities do not. What that means is that this board can decide what rates we're going to charge for attachments and what terms and conditions we're going to have with attachers, with their requests. The FCC has stepped in and said, no, board members, we're going to tell you how much you can charge particularly small cell 5G wireless providers and how fast you have to respond to them. That order is actually in effect, but it's being appealed, and it's been transferred to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and APPA is going to brief it, and FMEA is going to file a brief on behalf of all of us from Florida. But I think it will be an opportunity for us. I had an opportunity today to meet with Tom Self, who's Senator Rubio's regional director, and I had an opportunity to talk to him about that and several other issues. And I feel that they're responsive to our concerns. We're always going to talk about tax-exempt financing and protecting the ability of municipal entities like us to issue tax-exempt bonds. We're going to play offense a little bit, it looks like, this session. That's nice for a change. And we're going to push to bring back advance refunding. Right now, you can't do that. I guess it was a couple years ago, or last year, that Congress eliminated advance refunding. That's the ability to take advantage of changes in the interest rate market and refund your bonds earlier than you originally anticipated. So right now, we're probably going to push to get that back. We're also going to probably talk about climate change. With the Democrats taking over the House, they're very energized about trying to resurrect the Clean Power Plan from the previous administration, the Obama administration. We have some concerns about that, so we'll probably be talking about that. But the good news is that our good friend Congressman Darren Soto has been appointed to the House Energy Committee. That's an excellent assignment for all Florida utilities. It's a fantastic, fantastic development. And then the final thing we're going to focus on, and it's just as important as the others, is Stafford Act reform, specifically FEMA reimbursement reform. First, we have to thank Senator Rubio because he was part of leading an effort, along with former Senator Nelson, to make sure that FEMA can't reach back more than 3 years to claw back money that they gave us to respond to a hurricane. But right now, we have a very serious problem because some sister utilities that really were hit hard by Irma put in for FEMA reimbursement. FEMA agreed to reimburse them, and the State Department of Energy Management is holding those funds up. And it's a very, very difficult situation for our sister utilities. I'm concerned that we've got some FEMA reimbursement applications. We weren't hit as hard. And I'm concerned we'll experience similar difficulties. So both APPA and FMEA is working that hard. And Tom was already aware of the problem when I brought it up with him today. So with that, I don't have anything unless there's questions. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, do you have some words of wisdom for us?
Well, just to remind you of the reminders that went out earlier this week. And that's all I have, Madam Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Ray, do you have some with us?
Yes, I'd like to request that for the next board meeting in March that we take a look at the board policy information that was provided to you probably about 2 months ago, because I had sent it to Letitia and Letitia sent it out to see if we want to go forward with having board policies and or not.
You want to be put in the agenda? Well, we always will have policies.
Yeah, but how do we want to proceed to get them, to make them?
Jim, do you have something to say there?
Oh, the only thing I was going to say is that it might be most effective to wait one more month for your new CEO.
I agree.
At least, or maybe two, to give him or her a chance to get their feet on the ground.
I agree.
I'll be glad to do it, but I'll be making recommendations to you that the new person may have some different views.
Exactly. Well, let's wait. Let's say we're going to do it, but let's wait until we get into the new CEO to get it done, because by that time.
But it's been a while. I mean, we're heading close to a year, so.
Okay. We'll talk about it. April, probably March or April. Kathleen?
Nothing.
Anything?
I just need you to give me some of the numbers.
I will stay here and let you know. Manny, do you have nothing? Well, with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for everything today. It was